different things. It's an opportunity to do more cash in 1 month than you probably do in another 3 or 4 months by itself. Number two is, it's a wonderful thing to go into the holidays flush with cash, with government, and not be worrying about cash flow or anything else like that. And number three is, it's a marvelous opportunity to, you know, go through and clean up all the renewals and upgrades that you haven't done for the year so far and get them off your plate before you start the new year and go back to focusing on getting a large flow of new enrollments in the door. But the idea is you want to get the whole thing built up to a feeding frenzy. And it's kind of like the old analogy of, growing a bamboo tree. You know, all the motivational speakers talk about, you know, you water, you don't see anything, and all of a sudden it grows overnight. But this is kind of that way. You throw an awful lot of stuff up against the wall and see nothing, then you hit a flood. And we've had in the past days where we did 25, 30, I think our record was 37,000 cash in 1 day. We've had 6 week periods of time where we've done, I think, records 146,000. And when I'm talking about that, I'm not talking about retail sales or ASF for EFC or PPS payments or any of that stuff, just purely cash in house from renewals. And the steps are outlined in that sheet that I sent out, but I want to walk you through it to get the gist of it. Because literally what we're going to be doing is mailing something to all of these students twice a week, maybe more. And some of the mailings are going to be just a little ugly looking postcard that says, qualify for training to black belt before December 18th because there's going to be a 20% price increase and you can avoid the price increase. And others will be a personalized letter from the instructor. One of them we'll do is we'll take a piece of a legal pad, a black flare pen, have the instructor at the individual school write out a personal note, go Xerox that note, and then personalize it with their name, and then hand address an envelope. And so all of a sudden it looks like every one of them is getting a personal note from the instructor. And done right, it's indistinguishable from it really being a personal note. So there will be a range of letters. Again, some of the first ones that we're doing are, like we have a black belt extravaganza this weekend. And what that is we have about 120 black belts who will all be performing. It follows a few weeks behind our black belt test. So we've got all of the black belts have done, what has karate done for me type of essays. I just did a mailing where it was all of the essays from the new people testing, a pass to the extravaganza, and a cover letter says, I'm so proud of all these new people testing. We have new black belts ranging in age from 6 years old to 56 years old. And we've had black belts as young as 5 and as old as 76. And I wanted to give you a chance to get acquainted with them and with what they've accomplished before the show this weekend. I want to make sure you make it to the show. So that's being mailed to all of the renewal prospects in the schools. Another letter was that big renewal packet that we have, and just mailing it out, and with a cover letter saying this month we need to qualify for you to train the black belt, and we're going to be going through a lot of steps, and also it's very important that you qualify before the December 5th or 18th, because there's going to be a price increase, and you'll be able to renew at the old rates rather than the new rates. But the elements of the thing are this, is we will mail to them in a six-week period of time somewhere between 12 and 15 times. Number two is we'll decorate the school just kind of obnoxiously. Right now, all the schools have those, like a piece of paper with a black belt on it, the name of the new black belt that we are promoting in the middle, and they have one for every new black belt organization-wide up on the wall. So they have like, these are not necessarily new first degree black belts, but they're black belts who all tested for some. So there's 120 of them on the wall with all the names. And then there's pictures of the new conditional black belts and pictures of the new certified black belts. And streamers, balloons, everything else. Our kids and adults, too, who join our leadership program get a blue uniform top. So we have blue uniform tops up on the wall, a black belt tied around it, and some of them have a white belt and a gold belt tied around it. And then we have a big sign up that says Team 3 blue leadership tops, or 20 blue leadership tops. Marked out, that says 19, marked out, says 17, marked out, it says 16. And so it's like counting down when you're going to get the free uniform top. And the first deadline for that is Thanksgiving. The next thing we do is we go through all the students, and this is, again, there's this stuff everywhere, and there's that quote about commitment, the black belt goal sheet all blown up into poster size. The next thing we'll do is we'll go through every student, take a Polaroid with them wearing a black belt, put their target date to get their black belt on the Polaroid, attach it to the goal sheet that we have about saying a goal to black belt, send it home with them for them to take it home and put it in their bedroom. At the same time, we have a big poster up that says, Future Mile High Karate Black Belts, and every one of these kids and adults who have a picture of them with a black belt on are up on the poster. So every time they walk in, they see a picture of themselves wearing a black belt with their name on the picture and their target test date. The next thing we do is we order a black belt for everybody, and these are mostly white and gold belts. So in our case, all the kids who are in this basic orientation class, everyone gets a black belt to wear. So we'll go through, we'll present everybody with a black belt, put them in the black belt, take one of those Sharpie-like paint marker, silver markers, write on the black belt their target test date and their name, have them wear the black belt in class between now and December 18th. So every class, the entire class is lining up, everybody's wearing a black belt. And then all of the terminology in class will turn into kick like a black belt, move like a black belt, yell like a black belt, look in the mirror and picture yourself as a black belt, and constantly talking to the kids about, Joey, you're 7 now, right? Great, you're going to be a black belt before you're 11, probably when you're 10. Billy, you're how old? You're 6. You're going to be a black belt by the time you're 10. Michelle, you're how old? You're 13. Great, you're going to be a black belt by the time you're 16. Mrs. Jones, you're still going to be an adult. You know what I mean? But we will go through all kinds of stuff to kind of future-pace them into visualizing, seeing themselves as a black belt, and understanding what the process is like. So let's pause there for a second. Questions on all of that?
Lee Syriac in Indianapolis.
Yes.
You were mentioning that on December 18th you do a price increase.
Yes.
Is that for people coming in, or is that for somebody that's already on an agreement of some type?
Well, if anybody you have on a contract, you've got to honor whatever you've committed to.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're doing this is for renewal. So, some people on the call do 6 months, some do 8 months, some we do 12 months initial enrollment. It's everybody who's on the initial enrollment that are not on your Black Belt Club or your Master Club or your Leadership Program. Okay, so you look in the typical school, in our case, this is our white and gold belts.
Okay.
Because that's the point at which we're converting everybody into the upgrade. And so it's everybody who's enrolled for a year that we're looking to upgrade into Master Club or Leadership. Now, if they're already in Leadership, doesn't have any impact on them whatsoever. Okay? They're enrolled all the way to second degree black belt. Their price isn't going to change. Nothing else is going to change with them.
Do you give those guys a black belt too, though, to wear?
Well, in our case, we just do it with, and then what you don't want to do is you don't want to have a class where you have 20 people in the class. You gave a black belt to 10 of them, and he said to the other 10, they can't do it. Right.
Yeah.
But we have that basic class, which are the white and gold belts, and all of the white and gold belts are getting a black belt. And then we don't do it for our Master Club and Leadership classes because, they've already done this. They've already been renewed.
Okay.
If they're on a 12-month agreement and it ends in, like, March or April, and they're not willing to upgrade, I still need to honor that price through the end of that target.
Sure.
So, but I'm using this kind of as a bait to get them to go ahead and renew.
Well, sure. Some people will say, well, I'm already paying for the next 9 months. Why do I have to do it now? And you know, there's two pieces to the answer. You know, answer number one is, well, if you're just going to take class for 12 months and then drop out, you don't need to do anything. If you're going to follow through to black belt, and that's what we're talking about, is qualifying you to black belt, you really may need to make a decision that you're definitely going to do it. And so if you're making a decision you're definitely going to do it, you're better off to do it now for two reasons. Number one, as soon as you make the commitment, and all kinds of other good stuff happens with your progress towards making that training. But secondarily is, if you wait till March, it's going to be, you know, we usually have a big number for them. You know, it's going to be an extra $3,000.
Good. Okay. Yes.
You know? Great. And my favorite response back to some of the moms is, you know, I'm going to wait for 4 months. Okay. Well, is it really worth $500 a month to wait? Well, what do you mean? Well, you're going to pay an extra couple thousand dollars. Or you're paying an extra $3,000. Wait, that's not $500 a month, that's $750. Is it really worth $750 a month to wait until then? Well, I don't want to pay an extra $750 a month. Well, okay. Well, let's decide now whether you're going to do it or not so you can get in on the old rates rather than the new rates.
Right. Okay, yes, thank you.
Are you really charging them that much more?
That's a mixed answer. And the reason I say it's a mixed answer is you almost never have somebody, when you go through all these steps, that says, no, I'm not going to do it, that 5 months later actually does it. Right?
Right.
So, you know, how many people do we actually end up with that we actually charge that much more? A few. You know, will we actually charge them what the new rates are then? Absolutely. However, if we've done it properly, you pretty much have segmented the school in two categories. I'm doing this for my current enrollment length and I'm going to drop out. Or I'm doing it, I'm going to do this black belt and I did it now. And if you go wimpy on the deal, what happens is you can actually screw yourself up, because if you end up with people who are still hanging around thinking about it in January or February without having created adequate interest, then you end up having to either honor the old price because they won't do it otherwise, or you end up with they're pissed off that they didn't understand what was going on.
I understand that, but are you actually upping the price that much? So that if they do wait till March and they're ready to drop out, because some people, no matter what you say, they wait till the end of their contract and then they make some decision at that time, oh, I want to continue, you know, and they may continue out. It does happen sometimes. And then is it really $3,000 more? I guess I'm trying to answer this because that's the staff. My staff is asking me that.
Well, what you've definitely got to say for the staff is not only yes, but hell yes. Because otherwise, they'll get wimpy on the whole thing right now, and you get screwed up. Okay? But the other answer to the question is we have a tiered price structure. In other words, there's a cheaper price when you're a white belt than there is when you're a gold belt. And there's a cheaper price as a gold belt than there is orange and up. And we expect essentially 100% of our renewals, which is the first 4 months, to happen by the time they're before they get their orange belt. So the way our price structure is set anyway, if they had waited for the 4 months, they're going to pay that much more.
Well, I guess the real answer then is, because I've got some people that might be orange belts or yellow belts or whatever, that the real answer is we're not really increasing it that much, but we're kind of saying it that way so that it we want it to come across like we are.
Well, you know, I guess it really depends upon the individual situation of the school. Okay, if it's appropriate at this time to be raising the overall, you know, across-the-board tuition that much, and for, you know, a lot of the schools I'm working with coaching, it is appropriate for them to be raising the price that much, okay? So if it's appropriate to be raising the price that much across the board, then it's just, you know, on the face value, it's exactly what you're saying it is. If it's not appropriate, then what you have is you have a tiered price structure, and it's cheaper for them now than it's going to be in the future. And you approach it that way. In reality, for us, it's going to be the latter. Okay,
right.
It was going to be more expensive for them in March anyway, but this gives us a chance to make a big hoopla about it rather than you know, have a less direct way of saying it.
Right, I got you.
Other questions so far?
Yeah, I've got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Based on what you talked about earlier, as far as the signs up on the wall with the pictures of the existing black belts and things.
Yeah.
Can you go into that a little bit further? I think I understand it, but I want to make sure that I've got it correct. That you're saying that you take the pictures of black belts that are already black belts and some a testimonial underneath it about their experience as a black belt, and then the same thing, what do you call additional black belts?
Let me walk you through, and Doug had a good experience or a good suggestion. I'm sorry, Greg had a good suggestion with taking pictures of a couple of our schools and emailing that around, and I'll try to get that done. But the reality of what the schools look like is start with the word obnoxious. And so it isn't a tentative effort, okay? It's overdone by pretty much anybody's expectation, okay? And so what we have on the walls right now, and we're going to go through two cycles, and I'm saying this for a very specific reason, because whatever you do right now, when a student has walked in the school 4 to 5 times, they stop noticing whatever's on the wall. You know, I mean, in your current school, if whatever's on the wall, the students have been there for 2 months now, they don't even know it's there anymore, right?
Right.
So we're going to go through a complete cycle of having all the schools decorated right now. After this first round with the show and so forth, we'll do another round of decorations. Okay, pull everything down and then start over and do it differently. Okay, but we have right now, you walk into the school, there's an easel by the front door with a sign that says Future Mile High Karate Black Belts. And you can do this digitally if you want, but we just did a Polaroid because it's just easy. Polaroid picture with every kid who's a current white or gold belt wearing a black belt. Their name on the picture and their target date to receive their black belt. So in our case, we're putting them for about 3.5 years out as their target date to get their black belt. Okay? So big sign, first thing you see. You know, Future Mile High Karate Black Belts. Right? Then you walk in a little further, and we've got that video that we shot of our black belt test at Breckenridge that I think all of you guys have seen. And alternate with that, a video of a previous one of these shows.
Actually, I haven't seen that. I don't know
if
anybody else has that video.
That's the one for the Master Club renewal.
I don't think I've seen that. The black belt test itself.
Okay. Well, it's in a red cover. It's a DVD, and it's me talking about the Master Club and leadership and it's interviews with the parents. But we have that running 24/7. Okay. And then we have this big display of the black belt, you know, I mean, it's the Xerox copy of a picture of a black belt, but with the name of everyone, anywhere from new first degrees all the way up to fifth, sixth degree black belts that all progress checked or tested at our most recent black belt test, right? So we've got, I don't know what it is, 120 or so names up there with black belts, okay? And we have of the last two groups, the guys who just got the conditional black belts and the guys who got their certification, we have a poster that actually has a little picture of each of them and their names. Now, what the instructor, well, and I'll get back to that, but so that's all up on one wall. Then there's just on the ceiling streamers and balloons, the blue uniform tops with black belts and different color belts tied around them, a big display that says, you know, 20 free blue leadership tops, and then marked out as 19, 18, 17, and so forth. So physically, that's the setting, okay? Now, what the instructor can do during class is he can pull everybody over, show them a little clip of the video, but also point to the names, and he can tell stories of each one of them. You know, we've got one gal that when she got her black belt, she was on chemotherapy, she had leukemia. So we can say, you know, I'm really proud of Renata Bradford there. She's getting her third degree black belt. You know, when she tested for her first degree black belt, she was on chemotherapy for leukemia. And parents, you guys sit on the bench. I mean, you have no excuse because, you know, I mean, if Renata can do it, anybody can do it. And Brian there, Brian is 6 years old, and we just passed the baton because you see Nico Johnson there. He's 16. He's just his 4-3 black belt. He was our youngest black belt at 6. Now Brian Tucci is our youngest black belt at 6. So Nico just passed the baton to Brian for that, and Brian just got his new conditional black belt. But you get the idea. They're creating personal stories about each of these people. You know, and you see, and Mr. Galloway, he's our head instructor at our Inglewood location. He just progress checked. He's a 3rd-degree black belt working on his 4th-degree black belt. And he started when he was 7 years old. Bill, you're 7, aren't you? Great. Well, the head instructor at our Inglewood school started when he was 7. Let's say I've got Matt Young at one of the schools. And he can say, you know, and I started when I was 10, just like you, Billy. And so what they're trying to do is trying to create personal word pictures and personal identification with all these different people who have just tested and you know, relay the concept of you're 7, our head instructor over there started when he was 7, you're 6, we just had a 6-year-old get their black belt, we also have a couple of 9-year-olds got their black belt, and they started when they were your age. So it's tying all that kind of stuff together with the parents. What that does is it makes the concept of them actually getting the black belt credible in their mind. And with the students, it gives them a chance to actually picture themselves accomplishing that as they go through. Is that making sense so far?
Yeah, a lot of sense.
Okay. And so what we're doing is we're telling a lot of stories about the various black belts, the challenges that they had, the opportunities they had, the physical issues they had to overcome, and using the whole age range, but trying to identify it with different people who are currently in that class to other people who are just like them and who made progress just all the way through the program. And, you know, because what happens a lot of times for students is they see, you know, the black belts are superhuman, you know. That's not something I could ever do. They must be genetically gifted or something like that. And we all know the reality is, you know, Joey, who just got his black belt when he's 9, was the biggest klutz of anybody when he was started. And if you can share that in the right way with the parents, the kids, all of a sudden it starts to become real for them. So you want to almost demystify a little bit the process. You know, you want to make the accomplishment a little mystical, but you want to explain to them people who've accomplished all these incredible things did, in fact, start out at the same point that they were at. Other questions about that so far? No? Okay. Well, let's move on. An additional concept with this is if you start by looking at the school and you get a count, you know, a solid list and a count of how many people you have in the school that are renewal prospects, and then take a look and say what's a reasonable percentage that we can convert. So let's say, to make it easy, that you had 50 people in the school that are renewal prospects that you can convert 75% of them. So you've got 38 or more, you know, or so realistic renewals that you could do in the next 5 or 6 weeks. Then make an estimate about what percentage, you know, you might be able to get to pay cash rather than get to pay monthly. The number we work off of is 1/3, 2/3. So probably we'll end up with about 2/3 that go monthly, about 1/3 that goes cash. Depends greatly on who the program director is and what their expectations are and even the demographic profile of the location. But on average, let's say that that's what it's going to be. So now if I had 38 really good prospects, I've got, what is that, 13 cash deals. So if the average cash deal is $8,000, 8 times 13, I've got $104,000 cash that I could do just from paid in fulls, okay? Now, you've got another, what do we say, 36 minus 13, so another 22. 22 times an average of $500 down, that's another $11,000 or $12,000. Add that on to $102,000, now you're at $122,000, or you're at $114,000. And then you've got enrollments and monthly payments that come in and everything else. So that's how you arrive at what the number of cash programs are that you could probably do. Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you just layer one on top of the other on top of the other, and then you're in good shape. Okay. Questions on that? No? Okay. Well, let's move to the next level. The James was in Indianapolis. We were talking about renewals. And one of the things, especially for a larger multi-school operation, that you've really got to get across to your staff. And this whole deal is going to come across kind of salesy to them and kind of business promotional. Some of them are going to react negatively to that. And the way you overcome that is three or four things. One is, I don't think there's an instructor in the world who really doesn't want the students that he's working with to become a black belt. They just sometimes end up with a negative anchor towards the idea of having to sell them on the concepts. So you have to walk through with the instructors and make it real clear to them in a way that they arrive at the answer. And what you're working on making it clear to them is, look, nobody ever gets their black belt unless they first decide they're going to be a black belt and make a definite decision and commitment to be a black belt. I mean, we all know that's right. I mean, nobody just kind of, you know, wanders through randomly and eventually accomplishes their black belt. They make a definite decision that they're going to be a black belt, because otherwise, you know, there's too many obstacles, too many other things get in the way. So you start with getting the instructors to understand, look, it's okay for people to decide, no, I don't want to do this. And it's also, well, you know, in our best interest and their best interest for them to decide that, yes, they do want to be a black belt. But our whole process here is designed around getting them to make a decision, not waiting around to fail by default. Because, see, not making a decision is, in fact, failing by default, right? You know, saying, oh, I'm going to wait and see means you're never going to be a black belt. And making a decision now that you are going to be a black belt means at least you're predisposed that you may well accomplish that. So you start with the instructor's understanding, you know, you're not trying to sell anything. I'm not trying to get you to ask for cash or anything like that. What I am trying to get you to do is help walk through all of your students' process of making a decision for themselves. A win-win is they decide to be a black belt. We decide we want them to be a black belt, and we decide we want to work together. A lose-lose is they say, I'm going to wait and see, fail by default, and never become a black belt. You know, for some of them, their win is, I'll do karate for a year, and then I'm going to do something else, and what I'm going to do is X, Y, Z, and we can help them get there. Obviously, we'd rather have them with us, but that's a win also. You know, having a clear idea of what they want to do and helping them accomplish their goal is a win. So you set the instructors into a mindset of what we're doing is we're helping students decide whether black belt's appropriate for them and hopefully moving them to the answer that they do want to do it. And I always like to use educational metaphors, and so I'll talk to the instructors and say, look, if you're a college professor, you're trying to convince all your students that they should, in fact, complete your course, get an A in your course, and graduate from college. And if they're pre-med, that they should not only graduate from college, but get into the right med school. If they're pre-law, they need to get into the right law school. If they're a business student, that they can get into graduate school for their MBA. I mean, that's your role as a college professor. If you're a high school teacher, your role is to make sure your students successfully complete your class and graduate from high school. And if you're in a college prep program, hopefully convince them to go on to higher education and go to college. Any teacher's role is to encourage the student to be successful in the area that they're teaching, right? So that's not salesmanship, and that's not hype and so forth. Your job is to convince them that they want to be a black belt and convince them to stick with the program and graduate and get to that point. So you start putting it in that language, and the instructors can suddenly get behind the concept of convincing all of their students that black belt's a good thing and educating them to share with them what other black belts have gone through and where how the process unfolds and how it all works. So you start with that. The questions on that?
Okay.
The next step of that is you realize, and you talk to the instructor just this way.
I don't have any help.
Okay, we're back. The next step of the whole renewal process is this, and I think it's an important thing for all of us to understand, is if you had a time machine and you could transport a family, parents and the kid, into the future, and they put them into their body and put them into their mind when they're receiving their black belt, and then sit down and talk to them and say, the renewal is $10,000. Would any of those people ever, ever, ever object to the price? And the answer is, I think, obviously no. So what the difference is when you're trying to work through the price and get them to see the value, it is perspective. Am I looking in the future and I haven't done it yet, or am I looking backwards as if I've already accomplished it? And so what you're working on doing with setting up this whole scenario, including the language you use with the students and the parents, is your, Tony Robbins term and the NLP guys talk about future pacing. But what you're trying to do is pull them mentally into the future and see their child or themselves and their family having achieved their black belt. And then mentally get them to look back and see all the wonderful things they've accomplished and then see the tuition and the price points in that context. And if you can accomplish that, one, you'll get very few price objections. But number two is if you can adequately convey that to the instructor, you sit down and you get the guy who's just kind of recalcitrant. I don't want to put a black belt on these guys, and I don't want to hype them on all this stuff. You say, well, no, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. On the day you got your black belt, how did you feel about it? Well, it was great. Well, today, how do you feel about it? Would you do everything over again and train it? Well, of course I would. Would you like other students and other families to make the decision to do the same thing you did? Well, sure I would. Okay. Well, all I'm asking you to do is to convey exactly the way you felt about the decision you made. Explain to them how the process worked. Explain to them how you felt on the day you got your black belt and how you feel about it now. And share with them what the value is that you perceive there to have been. And you'll get, see when you start raising the rates, you get some of the instructors who are kind of recalcitrant about the prices. And, you know, the question for those guys is, well, let me ask you a question. If I could transport you back in time to the point that you made a decision to start training in martial arts, give you back every penny you paid, give you back triple every penny you paid, and say, okay, you're not going to do this, take back everything you know, take back all the experiences you have, take back everything you've developed, would you take me up on the deal? They always say no. You know, could I give you 10 times what you paid? No. Okay. Well, so how much is it worth for any one of these students to make the same decision and to train through and accomplish the same things you've accomplished? Well, it's priceless, isn't it? Well, yeah. So why are you concerned about, you know, about the price points? Sometimes they say, well, nobody can afford it. Well, Jim, maybe the thing is you feel like you can't afford it. Except, you know, I got to tell you that if you were sitting in this chair right now knowing what you knew and I was asking you to pay that right now, I bet you'd figure out a way, wouldn't you? Well, yeah, I guess I probably would. Okay. So let's not make price the issue because, frankly, it really isn't. Is it all making sense?
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, there definitely is a strategy for how you get the instructors engaged. And then there's a strategy for how you get a bandwagon effect going in the school. The third thing that we, or the maybe it's fourth, the next thing we haven't talked about very much is the process for getting, for the instructor, how they're talking about this whole thing during class. Because obviously now you get all the students wearing a black belt, you got all this decoration and stuff around. Maybe you have a videotape of, you know, some of your black belts, or you have pictures of your black belts, all that stuff going on. And the way you talk about it in class is you talk about it predominantly from the standpoint of goal setting. So you basically, for 6 weeks, you make every class a conversation about setting goals, how the process works, anchors for supporting goal setting. And anchors for supporting goal setting are visualization. And so you talk about how to visualize themselves being a black belt, how to visualize themselves as an assistant instructor or as an instructor, how to visualize themselves physically being able to perform like a black belt. Talk about self-talk and how to talk to themselves about accomplishing black belt and be supportive of that process. You talk about finding the right friend, you know, family and friend support, getting the right kind of support mechanisms in place to accomplish that. You talk about the process of accomplishing a big goal like that, how it carries over into all areas of your life, and why black belts are also A students, and why black belts are also kids that have positive peer groups, and why black belts are also people who are confident of themselves in all situations, and talk about it in those terms. So you really make every class about goal setting and about outcomes and benefits and how the process works. And you circumvent any parents complaining about that by always saying to them, look, we're talking about the process of setting a goal to a black belt. Obviously, this same process applies to any goal you set. If you want to be an A student in school, here's how you go about setting the goal to be a student. You visualize yourself as an A student. You develop positive self-talk to support your goal of being an A student. You put visual anchors around to do that. You get your friends and your family to support the process. You hang out with the right people and end up with a positive peer group around being an A student. So you start translating that. And the explanation of the parents is, well, you know, black belt's almost a metaphor for all the positive things, the successful things that we'd like your kid to accomplish in life. And we want to make sure that everything they do here is going to translate to every other area of life. Any questions now? No? We're going to have to wrap up here pretty quick. I am going to be emailing everybody a bunch of information about the whole process, but at the same time, be shooting me off questions. It's very important that if you haven't started on this and you intend to, you get going right now. You know, we're using the target date of December 18th. The reason we're doing that is it's a Saturday the week before Christmas week hits, and it'll give us a few days to clean up whatever we've missed in the meantime at the end of that thing. But I would right away get everybody in black belt, get the decorations up in the school, and then get a series of mailings going. And I'm going to make sure that I email out most, if not all, of the mailings that we're doing as well, so you get the gist and, you know, or can just duplicate directly if you want to. Okay, so we got to run for the day, and drop me some emails, and we'll clarify and go from there.
Sounds good.
Okay, have a good afternoon, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet. Bye.
Level 10, Marshall Arts. May I help you?